This morning I'm going to talk about Christian liberty and smoking marijuana. Are Christians free to smoke marijuana recreationally? I'm going to preach on only one verse today, Galatians 5:13. For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Right up front, I'm going to put out this main thought regarding Christian liberty and smoking marijuana. Christians are not to smoke marijuana recreationally. Plain and simple. So if there's any question, we're not going to get into medical marijuana. I'm not knowledgeable enough on that. But the scriptures do teach us about smoking marijuana. You say, where? Where in the Bible does it teach that? Well, there's no place where it actually teaches that you should not smoke marijuana. There's nothing in the Bible that talks specifically about nuclear war. But there are principles in the Bible that you apply to everyday situations that give you the guidance to know whether or not you should do something. In the book of Galatians, the last couple of chapters are Paul's ethical teachings. I mean, there's doctrine in Galatians, but there's also the practical applications, the ethics. Four reasons why Christians are not to smoke pot. Smoking pot does nothing to glorify Jesus Christ. Smoking pot is sinful. Smoking marijuana does nothing to build up the body of Christ. In fact, it's a hindrance. And lastly, smoking weed destroys one's physical body and mind, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The book of Galatians is the Magna Carta of Christian liberty because it maintains that only through the grace of God in Jesus Christ is a sinner and able to escape the curse of his sin, the curse of the law, and live a new life. Everyone wants to be free. Americans prize nothing more highly than freedom. Freedom is perhaps the most resonant, deeply held American value. Some speak of freedom in political terms, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to vote, freedom to have guns. Others speak of freedom from oppressive social structures or economic freedom. Sociologist Robert Bella has concluded that Americans mainly want personal freedom. Personal freedom means being left alone by others, not having other people's values, ideas or lifestyles forced upon them. Freedom for most means being free from authority, free from restrictions, free from laws, and free from anything that prevents them from believing, saying, or doing what they want. But the freedom that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is freedom in Jesus Christ. Whereas personal freedom is focused on self, Christian freedom focuses on God and others. And we see this in our text today, Galatians 5:13-14. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Christian liberty is freedom in Christ. Jesus sets us free from sin and its guilt. He did so on the cross at Calvary. Jesus sets us free from death through his resurrection. We will be raised from the grave on the last day. And Jesus sets us free from the devil. Jesus has broken Satan's stranglehold on us. Jesus has set us free from the law. which is one of Paul's primary concerns throughout his epistle to the Galatians. Christ has set us free from the law's deadly curse because nobody can live up to the law's requirements. So we all end up cursed. We fail to fulfill the law. So when we try to keep the law and try to work our way into heaven, we're cursed because we fail to do that. Christ sets us free from works-based gospel by giving us a grace-based gospel. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's our freedom. Christ set us free from sin's deadly curse. He set us free to be what God wants us to be, to His glory. Now, Christian liberty, and you see how Paul is turning this here slightly, but it's so important. Christian liberty must always be defended from its two great enemies. First is legalism, and that's what we've been looking at for a number of weeks. The teaching of the Judaizers that came in to the Galatian churches and said, you know, Paul's wrong for what he's teaching you. First of all, Paul's not really an apostle. Secondly, Paul made up his own gospel, and his gospel is wrong. Paul says that you're saved by grace alone. But what the Judaizers are saying is you are saved by grace plus works. God did His part, but you have to do yours in order to be saved. You have to be circumcised. You have to obey Jewish rituals. You have to obey the Mosaic law in order to be right with God. And Paul says, no. We've been set free from all of that through faith in Jesus Christ. Christ came graciously to set us free from sin, death, the devil, from the law. He fulfilled the law. Legalism is strict adherence to principles, laws, and authority. Legalists adhere to a system of rules and regulations for achieving both salvation and spiritual life. For example, there are legalists in the church who believe that in order for a person to be spiritual, in order for a person to be saved, he must avoid using tobacco, alcoholic beverages, dancing, card playing, movies, and a whole host of other things. That's legalism. Paul feared that the Galatians might fall back into this bondage of legalism. Judaizers were trying to persuade them to keep the law instead of believing in the gospel of grace. We see this in the first part of our fifth chapter of Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Paul challenged the Galatians to remain free in Christ and not go back to the old way of trying to earn your way into salvation. What Paul is saying was that Christians do have freedom, but that freedom is not to be used to sin, but is to be used through love to serve one another. Freedom for most means free from authority, restrictions, from laws. That's this personal, secular kind of freedom. But what God is telling us, Paul is saying to us, is that we're free to serve other people. The reason why we want to be left alone, we want to be free to do whatever we want, whenever we want it, wherever we want it, and however we want it, is because we're naturally sinful. Even though we're redeemed and new creatures in Christ, there's a portion, there's a part of us that still needs to be sanctified. A part of us that wants it my way. And what happens is if you don't understand what freedom in Christ is, our default mechanism is personal freedom. Freedom means that we can obey or disobey. It's up to us. Believe in whatever we want. And when somebody puts the scriptures before us, the teachings of Christ, and we don't like them, we're upset with that. Trying to live according to scriptures is extremely inconvenient because we have to deny ourselves. But wait, I have freedom in Christ to do whatever I want. No, you don't. Freedom in Christ is not you do whatever you feel is right in your own eyes. Freedom in Christ is living in accordance to the Scripture in the power of the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's also where we start to introduce more about the Holy Spirit's work in the life of Christians. And Pastor Ben will be here next Sunday to talk more about the next passage about the Holy Spirit and holy living. And the warning is against certain types of living. All right. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So the first enemy of Christian freedom is legalism. The second enemy of Christian liberty is license or libertinism. Libertinism, license. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. The Galatians had been liberated from legalism, but they were not to use their liberty for license. When Paul speaks of the flesh, he uses a word that means something more than just the physical body. The flesh is that part of each one of us that does not want what God wants. It is the sinful part of us. The flesh is my corrupt human nature in all its weaknesses and depravity. The NIV translates Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful, to indulge your sinful nature." We must not allow sin to use our freedom in Christ as a beachhead to launch spiritual attacks against us. I want to do this. Spirit's saying, no, I want to do it. Well, I'm free in Christ, and even if I do sin, my sins are forgiven, so I may as well go ahead and do it. No. That's an abuse of grace. Christian freedom cannot become an excuse for satisfying our sinful desires. When some people hear about God's free grace, they think it means that they can sin as much as they want, and everything's forgiven. If God has already accepted me in Jesus Christ, they wonder, who cares how much I sin? All my sins were paid for at the cross of Calvary. One of the problems that John Calvin had during the Protestant Reformation was the large amount of licentious living among the people. People were saying that since the law was no longer necessary to keep, they were set free from it. They could live any way they pleased. And when you study the Protestant Reformation, when you study Calvin, who came after Luther, and you study some of the group of pastors that he shepherded and how they ministered in Geneva, they were excommunicating people left and right because of their licentious living. They were withholding communion from scores of people because people really just wanted to, now I'm free, I don't have to worry about being punished. So that means I can live any way I want. That's the danger that Paul's dealing with here. Now on to the topic of Christian liberty and smoking marijuana. John Ellis, in his article entitled, "Can Christians Smoke Marijuana?" writes, "The spirit of libertinism is the new asceticism. Our culture is quickly becoming one giant meme that denies any form of self-denial. Instead of cloisters filled with monks assiduously demonstrating the mortification of the flesh, we are surrounded by a growing number of people who pride themselves on finding new ways to affirm the lust of the flesh. Unfortunately, the church has not been immune to the prevalent moral sickness of self-affirming freedom. For many who claim to be followers of Christ, the concept of Christian liberty has reached the level of a sacrament, no matter how grounded in the authority of Scripture, words even mentioned to caution against refraining or avoiding the lusts of the flesh are soundly resisted and quickly called legalism. Challenges to license has become one of the new heresies. And not just within the progressive Christian orbit, many mainstream evangelicals have staked out sacrosanct positions on Christian liberty, and woe to anyone who dares question the wisdom of an engaging in fleshly activities. John Ellis goes on to say, "And the freedom to smoke marijuana is one of the fastest growing claims of Christian liberty by otherwise conservative Christians." For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Just as legalism is self-enslaving, licentious living is self-enslaving. Both legalism and libertinism are self-destroying. Christians are not to smoke pot because smoking pot does nothing to glorify Jesus Christ. We have been created by God to bring Him glory. Everybody knows the first question in the Westminster Catechism. We're to glorify Christ, glorify God, enjoy Him forever. Does smoking pot do anything to glorify God? Marijuana is a mind-altering, mood-altering drug. The chemical in marijuana, THC, clogs receptors in the brain, acting as switching stations, resulting in memory reduction, slowed reaction time, loss of motivation, and reduced peripheral vision. In short, the brain is temporarily incapacitated. Now, how does an incapacitated brain glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Secondly, smoking pot is sinful. Why? Because the Scriptures teach you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Why do people smoke marijuana? Because of the taste? Do they add pot to brownies because it enhances the taste? No. The purpose of smoking pot is to have mood-altering, mind-altering effect on us. To get a high. Now here's where we look at a principle that we find throughout the Old and the New Testament. And that principle is drunkenness is sin. Whatever substance you're using that causes you to be drunk, it's a sin. The Bible's stern criticism of drunkenness is well attested in verses like Ephesians 5:18, which commands, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." Many other verses and passages explicitly forbid drunkenness. And again, I'm tying smoking marijuana to being drunk. It alters your mind. Passage, Proverbs 23:29-35. "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go to try mixed wine." Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I will not hurt. They beat me, but I will not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. Research shows that marijuana is much more potent in intoxicating the user than alcohol. Whereas after 4 drinks of alcohol for women and 5 drinks for men, which considers them drunk, 4 puffs on a joint, a marijuana cigarette, has the same intoxicating effect. Smoking marijuana is sinful because it makes the user drunk. According to the Bible, drunkenness is a very serious sin. Galatians 5:19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, discussions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that these who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Drunkenness is included in a lot of these other sins that we would never even think of. We don't consider drunkenness serious. Well, just ask some of the people at Penn State how serious drunkenness is. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Why should Christians not smoke pot? Smoking pot does nothing to glorify Jesus Christ. Smoking pot is sinful. Smoking marijuana does nothing to build up the body of Christ. In fact, it is a hindrance. Can you imagine what a congregation would look like at the first church of stoners? Think about it. If the pastor was an advocate of marijuana usage, would you send your kids to youth group? If your youth advisors were smoking pot, why not? It would divide the church. It would harm the next generation. It would cause one another to stumble. So it's not going to build up the body of Christ. It'll be a hindrance. And God gave us gifts in order to build up the church. But one of the effects of marijuana usage is lethargy. I don't want to serve. I don't want to love my neighbor and go out of my way for them. Lethargy. I don't even want to go to work. I don't want to study in school. Smoking pot does nothing to build up the body of Christ. Back in the day, kids were warned, don't smoke cigarettes, it'll stunt your growth. You ever hear that? Well, today, don't smoke pot, it will stunt your spiritual growth. It will. Now, there's no scientific research on this, but when I was in Philadelphia, I spent a lot of time with other pastors in the area. And we developed a theory that at the age that people begin to use drugs, starting with marijuana, that is the age they stay at emotionally for most of their life. They can't take responsibility. They can't hold down jobs. They can't be good parents. They can't be trusted. And I had a number in my congregation that were always coming looking for money. We're always coming for counseling. We're always involved with problems with the family. We're always looking for a recommendation for a new job. We're always asking you, hey, I got a court date. Could you come and be a character reference for me? This is the reality of the world we live in. Drugs have a very negative effect on people. And what's so sad is in our day and age, everybody is pushing for more legalization of drugs. The question you have to ask is, why is it that you want to smoke pot? What's going on in your life that you need that? I don't think it's a coincidence that we live in a day and age where the millennial generation is the most stressed out generation that exists. All right? And at this time, we have an opioid epidemic. We have the legalization of marijuana. And yeah, it's not legal in all states. It's illegal according to federal law. But you can see the cracks as it's legalized for medical reasons. And then not too long after that, it's legalized recreationally. It's a serious problem. Smoking pot does nothing to glorify Christ. It's sinful. It does nothing to build up the church. And lastly, it destroys one's physical body and mind, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Smoking marijuana regularly, a joint a day, can damage the cells in the bronchial passages, which protect the body against inhaled microorganisms and decrease the ability of the immune cells in the lungs to fight off bacteria and tumor cells. A study indicates that a marijuana user's risk of heart attack more than quadruples in the first hour after smoking marijuana. The researchers suggest that such an effect might occur from marijuana's effects on blood pressure and heart rate and reduced oxygen carrying capacity of blood. Additionally, the smoke from cannabis, the plant from which marijuana is derived, contains compounds that can damage DNA and increase the risk of cancer, just like tobacco smoke, according to a recent study in England. Researchers found that smoking of 3 or 4 joints a day is associated with the same degree of damage to bronchial mucous membranes as 20 or more tobacco cigarettes a day. So why would you do this? There's short-term memory loss, distorted perception, trouble with thinking and problem-solving, the loss of motor skills, decrease in muscle strength, increased heart rate and anxiety, and that's just for starters. It clouds our moral choices. Habakkuk warned, "Woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom even to make them drunk so as to look on their nakedness." Mix in your venom is an ancient practice of adding herbs or drugs to wine to make its intoxicating effect more potent. Christians have enough trouble fighting against temptation. Marijuana lessens your inhibitions. So the point here is, you're called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Christians are not to smoke pot because smoking pot does nothing to glorify Christ. It's sinful. It does nothing to build up the body of Christ. And it destroys one's physical body and mind, the temple of the Holy Spirit.